When I'm looking at the next 12 months of my life, what I do not have on the books and what is impossible for me to have on the books is a trip to Sicily. However, the next best thing to having my own adventure in Sicily was reading Joe Piazza's new novel, The Sicilian Inheritance. It is a vacation in a book. If your vacations were sexy murder mysteries that also dive deep into generational trauma, but not in too heavy of a way, it is the perfect book to take on a plane. It is the perfect book to read next to your public pool while taking breaks to yell at your kids. It is the perfect book to get you out of a reading slump, and it is available now wherever you get books.
Okay, I have to admit something. Every time that I've gotten on a plane in the past week or so, which has weirdly been a lot of times, I've been like, okay, this is the flight. This is the flight that I'm going to get off, and there's going to be something new and very exciting about Kate Middleton. And there has not been. There hasn't been. But there are updates. There's some very, very interesting and, you know, somewhat juicy updates. Or they're not even juicy, but they're very interesting. But there's been some updates, and I think it's time we talk about them. So I'm bringing on our resident Kate Middleton correspondent, Caro Claire Burke, to talk through all of it. Hi.
Hello.
How you doing this morning? It's early.
It is early. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I'm probably doing better than Kate Middleton, to be honest.
Who knows? Who's to say at this point if Kate Middleton ever really existed to begin with?
Oh, now that would be the start of an excellent Black Mirror episode, right? It's like the breaking news is actually that Kate Middleton was always a figment of our imaginations.
Yeah, I had this woman comment on one of my TikTok videos saying the real Kate Middleton was the friends we made along the way. And I could not stop laughing. I thought it was so funny.
Oh my God, that is so good. That is so good. Well, there's been a lot going on. I will say that I've been on a lot of planes the past week. And every time I got on a plane, I was like, oh, something's going to happen by the time I land. Something. There's going to be news.
It's so funny. I was actually just looking this morning. Something that's really funny is that the royal family is hiring a new communications assistant. And it's just so fun. A communications assistant for the private secretary's office of royal communications at Buckingham Palace. And they're just paying them just the crappiest salary on the planet. And it was just such a perfect punctuation of their behavior throughout this entire experience to be like, wow, what a final encore performance for you guys to share this salary number. It's like the equivalent of $30,000 in an American salary. So I just was really satisfied.
Wow. And is this publicly posted?
Yeah. I'll share it with you. It's on their actual website for a communications assistant. You'll see it's key responsibilities, assisting senior colleagues with proactive and reactive communications. I mean, it's hysterical when you
go down. Wow. Now is not the time. Like, who approved this? Who approved this message?
I know. And I was just like, what post grad is going to get the job from hell and think it's going to be like, it's an opportunity? You know how people, I know that for me, people were always like, well, when you work with, you know, really important people, they'll help you. And I'm like, do they? Do they help you, or are you just going to be their indentured servant? Unclear.
Well, I'm seeing this another way. I think I'm going to apply for the job.
I think you should.
I'm going to submit send me the listing. I'll submit a resume right now with all of my media credentials, and let's see if I can get an interview.
I also just want to clarify for you, the senior colleagues of this communications department are all still gainfully employed. So you'll be working for the people who have done all of this work.
Yeah, that's my hope. That's my hope. My hope and dream right there.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Wow. I mean, maybe they'll let me work remotely from Philly, too. You don't know. I don't know. So, all right, this is a thing. Much as I said before that I will be trying to be Mrs. Pennsylvania, which I am. I'm applying.
Oh my God.
This is the kind of experiential journalism that I think our audience is here for.
Yeah, I really need to know about your pageant journey. I am rooting for you. What an upset that would be for a journalist with 12 books to win that pageant.
I know. I'm worried they would want me to have another child, and I can't because Nick is snipped. I mean, I could. I would just have to go find a, you know, ringer, a hot young ringer.
Pulls their opportunities.
Exactly. None of these are obstacles. No. So fill me in on the latest. I mean, you are essentially my New York Times these days when it comes to a lot of news. And that, you know, that's this. I consume most of my news through Caro, Claire Burke on TikTok. What's the latest on Kate Middleton?
What a week we've all had. So the short story here is that a video, and I'm putting that in air quotes, of Kate and Will, I'm also putting that in air quotes, was shared by TMZ showing them walking in like a shopping area near where they live. And this was both meant to put an end to the conspiracy theory conversation and was also done so poorly, shared so poorly. The video quality was so awful that it basically turned the conspiracy theory into like one final huge dragon roar of an event. Like, I don't know. Have you seen the video since?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the video.
What do you think of it?
I mean, to be honest, it doesn't feel real to me, right?
Yes. So here's what I find interesting about this, because I had to kind of pause at this moment as someone who was sharing a lot of like thoughts about what was going on TikTok. I kind of had to pause and be like, okay, I'm not as interested in the idea of whether it's her or not, though I am like genuinely engaging or like consuming content from other people who are debating over that. Like, I think that the video quality and the way that it was shot was done so either with such poor skill or with such intention to confuse that I don't blame people who are confused by it. Like, it is such a blurry video. The woman really doesn't, like, it's easy to not see Kate Middleton in that video. And so I really don't blame people who are like, this is making me feel even crazier.
Yes. Well, that's the thing that I want to talk about, because all of this makes me feel crazy. It made me feel like a strange conspiracy theorist, like one of those pasty middle-aged white dudes living in their parents' basement, convinced that the aliens are going to come get them. And I don't like feeling that way. But at the same time, it just didn't feel real. I don't know why. Something felt off. I also don't know why I care. It could be an old video. It could be King Charles in a wig. And all of it felt strange to me. And I don't want to feel like a weird conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of people feel. I think there's a certain resentment that comes with looking at something that just inherently feels off and not necessarily knowing what is off about it, and just immediately being kind of labeled as someone who is radical or extremist for having a sort of type of disenchantment. And I think one of the things that's been interesting to me over the last week and that I've been thinking about is that in the last few years, we've become so acclimated with the emergence of different types of AI. Like, you have ChatGPT, you have doctored photos. And as we become more familiar with artificial intelligence mimicking human behavior and human, you know, works of art, we're also getting better at like sniffing out when things feel uncanny and just like a hair off. Like, ooh, this is so close to being a story written by a person, but it's not. This is so close to being a natural video of people, but it's not. And so I think whether it's like a body double is up to debate, I guess, with some people. But I think there's also just certain things where it's like, it feels unnatural. It feels like it was staged, or like someone told them to do that, or like the person who was taking the video intentionally made it hard to see. Like, at some point, it feels like something about it does not feel like a video that is actually designed to give more true information. And I think that's what a lot of people are sensing.
Exactly. And I think, look, our brains are having to evolve very quickly with all of the AI. And we're just trying to find safety in a lot of ways so that we can start to sniff out what is fake, because a lot more fakes are going to be coming down the pipeline. And I think that's a really interesting way of looking at this. I think people are just generally nervous about, you know, fake news, fake information. And that's yet another reason that we're a little bit obsessed with this Kate Middleton situation.
Yeah, I also think that we are a society that is increasingly defined by the amount of content we consume, and we are expecting closure. Like, I think a lot of people are expecting that there is someday going to be an answer. And I do think that we talked in our last conversation about how Kate Middleton truthers, quote unquote, are being compared to QAnon. And the only way in which I'm willing to make that comparison is in the idea that, like, QAnon kind of dissipated, the strength of it dissipated after January 6th, because a lot of people had a conclusion. Like, they felt like they had reached the end of their, quote unquote, prophecy. And I think with this confusion around what's going on with Kate Middleton, there is no closure. And we are being told that this video is a form of closure, when in fact it's not, because it doesn't answer questions about what Kate Middleton thinks. It doesn't answer questions about, like, her well-being. A lot of questions that were raised during this process, you know, appropriate or not, about her sense of autonomy and her power and her mental health. And so I think we're going to have to live with the fact that those questions raise kind of accidentally, or were never meant to be raised, and they're probably never going to be answered. We're probably never going to know that much more about what happened during this time period. And Kate Middleton, sure as shit, isn't going to be the one who tells us.
No, she's not. In the application that I'm going to send to be the communications assistant for the palace, I would like to give them a strategy, which is it leans heavily on guilting the public. And being a little bit honest. Hey, Kate had, they don't even have to be specific about the kind of surgery, you know, but like a very serious surgery. She is like doing X, Y, and Z, and we need this much time for her to recover, and just wants privacy. Just, I want to give them a strategy to not do what they're doing right now.
Well, something that is also interesting to that I would, you know, here's my two cents: when you become the director of Royal Communications.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen. I need a new job anyway. Like, I was figuring out if I'm going to write another book, and maybe this is what I want to do instead.
I honestly think that you would have more fun living out the fiction of whatever is taking place in that my thought is that for a long period of time, for centuries, the silence and inaccessibility of royal figures was something that added to their power. And now, when you look at royal family members and you actually never get statements directly from them, I think it adds to a sense of disempowerment, and it makes them look weak. Like, I think that the public is starting to increasingly view Prince William and Kate Middleton and all of these people as, like, genuinely, like, as bobbleheads, like, as people who don't necessarily ever speak for themselves. And I think, to a certain extent, if I were in charge of communications, I would be curating moments that are highly strategic, highly planned out, but in which those royal members are taking control of these narratives themselves. And if Kate Middleton were to record a video and say, "Hi, I'm fine," that would be hugely powerful, hugely humbling, and would definitely shut up a lot of people and make them feel maybe a little bit of shame, a little bit of embarrassment, because the person that they've been talking about all this time is finally addressing them. But to keep having messages come out from some, like, vague communications department, like a la Lumen at Severance, like, it feels very silly to me. And I think a lot of people are like, "Ooh, like another message from the communications." Like,
another message from above. You're right. Yeah, just have Kate. And even if she looks shitty, who cares? Who cares? Just say, "Hey, I'm okay. Leave me alone." I think it would do a lot. And I think a lot about how celebrities used to hide behind their publicists back when I was a reporter for the celebrity gossip magazines. And now they don't. Now they communicate directly with their fans via social media. Of course, publicists are still often crafting those messages, but people expect that level of intimacy from a celebrity. And make no mistake, Kate is a celebrity. She's a brand.
Right. Yeah, 100%. And I would also add that one of the problems that was created from the sharing of that video, the TMZ video, is that now people know, okay, there are one of two options. Option number one is that the video isn't real. Option number two is that the video is real in every sense of the word. You know, it was taken this weekend. That is William and Kate. And that means that Kate is visibly capable of walking, of talking. She looks, you know, whether she's had plastic surgery or not, she looks capable of recording and sharing a video. And so that's, I think, another point that people are making, which is like, okay, so it looks like she could at any point say, I'm fine. Why has that never been an option? Even if, you know, the one of the leading theories is that she has a colostomy bag, that does not prevent a person from speaking to the camera with a top up, you know, video.
No, it doesn't. Mm-mm. She's not in a bubble. She's not bubble boy.
It's painful to see how poorly it was done. And it's also, it's boring. Like, it was interesting at first. Now it's like, you're so bad at your jobs that this is boring. You know?
Well, it's going to get a lot spicier once I get this job.
Oh, my God. I hope so.
Well, you know, I do have to go to London because the Sicilian Inheritance is launching in the UK about 2 weeks after we launch in the US. So I was going to fly over there anyway. I'll let them know that in the job, in my cover letter, that, hey, I can present these plans in person for you.
You should also source some questions and feedback and also record everything. You should be recording everything during
this. Do you think I wasn't going to record everything? I mean, I've got, I now have, I'm like a spy. After doing all of this research in Sicily for the latest podcast, I have microphones that fit in my bra.
I believe it. I believe that 100%.
We are going to take a quickie break here. And when we get back, we're going to talk about how this Kate Middleton situation relates to both Britney Spears and Amanda Bynes.
Hey, scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with MilliQ Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Another thing that I was going to ask you is, I don't know, I'm sure you haven't had the time to do this, but you might be aware that there is a Nickelodeon docuseries that's been getting a lot of attention. Have you been kind of tangential?
No, I know nothing about this. Tell me everything.
Okay, well, it connects to Kate Middleton in my head, at least. So basically, long story short, HBO has released a 4-part docuseries that kind of details some really startling accusations and allegations and, you know, evidence-based accusations against a lot of people who worked at Nickelodeon, just like the dark side of children's television. And obviously, one of the stories that they explore at length is the story of Amanda Bynes, who was a very famous child who was in a conservatorship, just like Britney Spears, and who has had like a really tragic exit from the public eye. And as I was watching this docuseries, I couldn't stop thinking about Kate Middleton. And I was just like, that woman is in a conservatorship. She has no access to her own finances. Her children are in custody of the monarchy. Like, she can't take her children. If she were to leave, her children would basically be like obligated to exist in the royal family, however the royal family wants. She doesn't necessarily have access to her own passport. She doesn't choose when she speaks. She is not in control of when she talks and where she goes. And I just couldn't stop thinking about this. The idea that, like, the only time we have seen her consent was when she said, I do. And if there's one thing we have learned from hearing Meghan Markle's story, it's that once you enter the royal family, it is almost impossible to leave unless the person who brought you in there decides to leave with you.
Wow. You just blew my mind, because I covered Amanda Bynes and her mental breakdown and her conservatorship. It was one of the last celebrity stories I covered, actually. I mean, I had reporters all over the world on it. And that is so astute, because yes, it does. There feel like so many parallels in there about how different ways we control women and control celebrity and control female brands. And I just remember Amanda's team and also Brittany's team, because I also covered that one. Both of those teams around those women were just desperate to lock them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's something that since I saw the docuseries, 2 days ago, I just can't stop thinking about it. And I think that to me, like if you were to ask me 2 years from now what my takeaway from this time period will be, it's not going to be, it'll be something to do with like the PR failures of the royal family. I've been so amazed watching that. And I also think to me, the lesson is like these ideas that we have of power when it comes to women. Like, are women in positions of power necessarily because they're famous? Are they in positions of power because they have power attached to their name or their title? Do they have like the ability to choose anything around their own life? And I think when it comes to Kate Middleton, she has no power when it comes to the whereabouts of her children. She has no power when it comes to the public's relationship to her image. And she has no power regarding to like where she goes and when and why. And again, I think about the interviews with Meghan Markle where she would say she was stuck inside a house for months at a time. Like, imagine. And I think we look at, you know, Britney Spears and Amanda Bynes, and it's so tragic to see the ways in which your psychology can be so warped from so many years of not being in control of your body and your mind. And I think this is especially pertinent to Kate Middleton with a lot of eating disorder rumors. Like, I think that's really important to keep in mind that these people have very little control over so much of their own lives.
Oh my gosh. There's so much more going on here than just where is she? And I do think that this could be the thing that, I don't want to say takes the royal family down, but just punctures so many holes in it. And we thought it was going to be Meghan Markle and Harry leaving, but I think that that was just the beginning. And I think that this could actually be the thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think something that I've thought throughout is that it's so ironic that, you know, technology might be the thing that kind of, you know, is the straw that breaks the camel's back with the royal family, given all the things that have happened through the years. But yeah, I mean, I think that we are really, I think, especially in the US, we are really starting to have maybe like the second wave that comes after Me Too is looking at different relationships to power. It's looking at more nuanced conversations about how men are in charge of women's lives. And I think the first wave was like essential, and it was more, a little bit more blunt in terms of what we're looking at, like black and white. And I think that this next wave is a lot more complicated, and it requires people to sit with irreconcilable truths and hold them in one hand, which is like this woman, whoever we're talking about, a celebrity or Kate Middleton, is unimaginably wealthy. They are like unimaginably privileged. And at the same time, they are basically imprisoned. And it's really, really hard to reconcile those two truths.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, one last thing I do want to talk about before we carry on with our busy mornings is that, but mostly because I've got this book launch coming soon and I'm worried I'm not going to be able to dish with you for like 2 or 3 weeks, and that'll make me sad. So I just want to get in all my care out time. There has apparently been a records breach or an attempted records breach at the hospital where Kate was. And I want to dig into that a little bit, because even as we speculate about this, and again, I think it's okay to speculate about it, given the fact that the royal family is a brand. I don't necessarily think we deserve certain information about her body, but we can speculate given, you know, how much power this family has. I do draw the line at medical records being breached.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like unequivocally unacceptable. And it looks like the hospital is doing exactly what it should do, which is not releasing the name of the employee, you know, suspending them or firing them or whatever they're going to do, making it clear that they're in control. Like, I think that's the correct thing to do. And I say that because we have seen a lot of situations in the last few years where someone does something either irresponsible or illegal, and then their name is shared with the world. And I don't think that that's necessarily appropriate.
No.
Yeah, it's totally wild. And I also think, with an acknowledgement of my biases, I tend to be like very defensive of the quote public at large when it comes to like the public versus institutions. And so something that I was thinking when I read that is like, you could have nipped this in the bud at any point. And people with the internet are going to behave irrationally. When you have millions of people who care about a story, and when there are incentives at play to have a break in the story, like someone can sell the information for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. So this might be like, hey, I can totally put myself in that mindset where you convince yourself that it's okay. You move past all of the moral and ethical problems, of which there are countless. And you say, this will change my life if I sell this, because there are so many incentives at play. And so my thought is like, never should have happened. It was always going to happen with the amount of people who were obsessed with this. And this is what happens when institutions are shady. And so thank God that someone in that hospital stopped it from happening, because it shouldn't have happened. And the royal family should once again be looking at what they're doing and being like, why are we so bad at communicating information in a way that satisfies the public? Why has this happened? And frankly, if it's only happening in the US, because I know a lot of Brits have said it's only the US that cares about this, why did the royal family continue to share these weird videos to begin with? Like, why did they have to satisfy us, if not to lead into their whole concept of being a brand? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm also a defender of the public. I mean, again, as someone who covered celebrities for so long and think it is such an important job to cover power, I do think that people just deserve a little more transparency. Mm-hmm. I think that transparency is probably a good word for it. But you know, talking about power, I do want to shift to one last thing. One last thing. Did you see Donald Trump's statement on Kate Middleton?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I love it when I break news to you.
Oh, my God. What a thrill. I actually have no idea what you're about to say. I so rarely feel this way. Oh, my God. Tell me.
Okay. So Trump was just doing an interview and he was asked about Kate. And I mean, this response, I snorted. I snorted my coffee all over my computer. It may be broken now and I don't care. He said, it shouldn't be a big deal because everybody doctors photos.
Oh my God. I'm grinning ear to ear. God, you know, I hate that man, but boy, does he work. Boy, does he have his own PR team always working for him. The shit that he says is just wasn't so terrifying. I would find him to be the most entertaining person on the planet. God bless.
We all used to. That's the thing. We all used to, right?
Yeah, he used to be such a pleasure.
When he did not have the nuclear codes, this was enjoyable.
Oh, my God. Wow.
No, but wait, there's more. Okay. You look at these movie actors and you see a movie actor and you meet them and say, is that the same person in the picture?
Oh, my God. I wish he had added a name at the end. You know, he could have just destroyed.
He could have just been like, I look at Tom Cruise.
You know, wait, did he say anything else? Or
yes, he did. Girl. Then he said, I looked at that, actually, and it was a very minor doctoring.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, you know what I really appreciate about Donald Trump, which is something.
That's what I want to hear, actually.
Something I never thought I would say in private, let alone on a public podcast. What I appreciate Donald Trump is the way that he basically so, I think unknowingly, like slices through all of these layers of like positioning and authenticity and power, and says things that are actually so true that they're terrifying. And like, I think that is the only positive that has come from his political career is the way in which he has exposed how many politicians are similar to him and how many figureheads and people in positions of power are really no different than celebrities. And it is so terrifyingly astute for him to point out how normal it is that the royal family is withholding information, lying, and doing it poorly. He's like, yeah, we all do stuff poorly. Is anyone expecting us to do things well? And it's like, wow, not a bad point. Like, it looks like we do kind of expect people to do things really poorly. Like, I think about our Congress and how little information they have about, like, basic social. I mean, we talked about this in a previous conversation. They have no knowledge about how TikTok works, how Instagram works. Imagine if they had to do a communications thing. It would end up just like this Kate Middleton thing. They're all so archaic.
I know. It really would. It really would. 100%. Although, you know, maybe some of the staffers who've worked on Trump's campaign should go over to the royal family. Maybe I should bring them with me.
Oh, I'm imagining, like, looking through old Donald Trump photos and seeing, like, weird baby fingers on his hands or something.
Oh, there's definitely weird baby fingers on his hands. And he's just like, yeah, he's like, they should find someone to, like, you know, doctor those photos better. But I get it. We all do this.
It's also why he is always in control of interviews, because I think he says things that actually stop people in their tracks. Like,
yes,
no response to that, because he has just outed himself. He mm-hmm. took the wind out of your sails. And when he says, I fake photos all the time, what the hell is supposed to say in response?
Hey, could we talk about border policy? And he's like, well, let me tell you what I think of that Kate Middleton video.
That's so wild. Wow. God, what a treat. What a treat.
I can't wait to
hear what Biden says. And I hope that this becomes, like, a central campaign issue.
Same. This has been a real treat. Tell everyone again where they can find you, because everyone loves following you.
Yeah, such a privilege to have come onto this show and to get to talk to you so many times. You can follow me at Carol Claire Burke with 3 E's on TikTok.
Wonderful. And this is our 100th episode. Yeah. Very exciting. Our 100th episode was about to be like a Sunday nice things, which I love. But I'm like, that is not 100th episode worthy.
No. We got to break down the slow collapse of our artificial world.
Exactly. Oh, all right. See you next time, everyone.
Next time. Congratulations on 100.
Thanks.
Hey, scientists, how critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with Millikew Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.